Welcome back to Warehousing Unboxed, an IWLA podcast, where we explore the dynamic world of warehousing, logistics, and the supply chain. Today's episode focuses on trucking, technology, and how to grow your services. We'll dive into the history of trucking and warehousing, how these two essential components work together, and the role of technology in driving them forward and closer. Then, stay tuned for an information-packed interview with two IWLA members who share their insights into running a successful business from port to porch. Let's start with a bit of history. The trucking industry, as we know it today, began in the early 20th century. Initially, trucks were simply modified cars, but by the 1920s, manufacturers started creating specialized trucks designed to transport goods. The true game changer came in the 1950s with the creation of the Interstate Highway System, providing a reliable network for long-distance transportation. Over the decades, trucking has become the backbone of the supply chain, critical for moving goods from manufacturers to distribution centers, and ultimately to retail locations and consumers. Warehousing, on the other hand, has an even longer history. If you listen to the inaugural Warehousing Unboxed episode, you will know that warehouses date back to ancient civilization, with storage facilities being used to store surplus goods. In the modern era, warehouses evolved from simple storage buildings to complex facilities with advanced inventory management systems. The rise of mass production in the 19th century increased the need for organized storage solutions. By the mid-20th century, warehouses began incorporating automation and improved material handling systems, paving the way for the sophisticated logistics centers we see today. Now, how do trucks and warehouses work together? Well, these two components are inherently linked within the supply chain. Warehouses serve as crucial points where goods are stored, sorted, and consolidated before being dispatched to their next destination. Trucks are the primary means of transporting these goods between warehouses, distribution centers, and end consumers. This relationship is vital for maintaining an efficient flow of products, reducing lead times, and ensuring timely delivery. Technology has been a game changer for both warehousing and trucking, driving these sectors forward and even closer together. In trucking, we have seen significant advancements such as telematics that provide real-time tracking, route optimization, and vehicle diagnostics. GPS technology is there also to ensure efficient routing and timely deliveries while reducing fuel consumption and operational costs. Electronic logging devices, or ELDs, are used to record driving hours and ensure compliance with regulations, enhance safety and accountability. And autonomous vehicles. Though still in development, self-driving trucks have the potential to revolutionize the industry. For warehousing, technology has brought about warehouse management systems, or WMSs, designed to optimize warehouse operations by improving inventory tracking, order fulfillment, and labor management. Automation and robots, automated guide vehicles, AGVs, robotic picking systems, and conveyor systems increase operational efficiency and reduce labor costs, amongst many other things. And AI, designed to enhance forecasting, inventory optimization, and predictive maintenance, as well as improve safety practices that all lead to smarter warehouse operations. The integration of technology in both trucking and warehousing is driving these sectors even closer together, and together they create a more seamless and efficient supply chain. On top of being at the cutting edge of technology, there are many additional advantages to having a business that provides both trucking and warehousing, including integrated supply chain solutions to enhance overall efficiency and reduce potential bottlenecks, streamlined technology integration that leverages unified technology systems for tracking, monitoring, and managing logistic processes, and enhances visibility across the supply chain, amongst so many other things. By managing both components, businesses can enhance coordination, reduce cost, improve service quality, and achieve a competitive advantage in the marketplace. But don't take our word for it. Today, I sat down with two IWLA members from BR Williams Trucking to discuss how they went from a two-truck trucking company to leaders in the warehouse and trucking industry, as well as how you can grow your business services. Please enjoy Craig Burgess, Vice President of Transportation Operations, and Derek Vanover, Director of Warehouse Technology for BR Williams. But first, a word from our sponsor, Made4Net. Thank you.
Made4Net is a longtime sponsor of the IWLA, and we have been serving the needs of 3PL customers across the globe for over 20 years. Our Synapse WMS is a cutting-edge 3PL warehouse management system built for the complexity and unique demands of modern 3PL operations. We are a trusted partner to over 100 customers in the U.S. and Canada, backed by an organization with thousands of customers globally. Find out more about how Made4Net provides the power of speed to pivot. Check out our website at madefornet.com.
Welcome back to Warehousing Unboxed. I'm your host for today's episode, Marina Hart Donahue. I'm the Marketing and PR Manager at IWLA. And today's episode is very exciting because we have an IWLA, a longtime IWLA member featured today. We have BR Williams, and two representatives who work at BR Williams will be joining us today to discuss their organization, how they went from a two-person trucking company and grew into this massive organization that does warehousing, fulfillment, all kinds of stuff. I'll go ahead and introduce our guests. So Craig Burgess, VP of Transportation Operations for BR Williams, and then Derek Vanover, Director of Warehouse IT. So let's go ahead and kick things off and just get to know both of you. Tell me a bit about your career and how you ended up in the path of 3PL, warehousing, trucking, and yeah, anybody can take it away.
You can go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
For me, I would say mine started, I went to Auburn University, just like probably 60% of everybody during that time frame that went to Auburn University went into engineering. I was in my third year of engineering and decided, I don't like this. This isn't what I want to do. I was good in math, transferred to business into the accounting school. After about two classes of that, I decided I don't like this either. I took a principles of marketing class. Within principles of marketing, they were talking about supply chain. That interested me. And I took a supply chain class the next quarter and fell in love with it. And that's what I've done ever since. I graduated in 93. Started working here at BR Williams in May of 93, and I've been with them ever since. I'm in my 32nd year with them, which really and truly, when you think about it, that is totally unheard of this day and time.
I know. So you've basically been with them through every iteration of growth and technology, too. I'm sure you've seen a wide range of how things function.
Let me put it this way. When I first started here, we were using a system for the trucking that was so ancient. And we would shut down at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, everybody had to be off of their computers at 3 o'clock because the system was going down at 3 o'clock. That don't happen anymore. It's just unheard of now in the state.
How about you, Derek?
So I, like Craig, I went to my undergraduate and I actually started with computer or software engineering, transferred to University of Alabama and was going for computer and software engineering. Long story short, my mom got cancer. I had to come back home and I'd already spent a bunch of money trying to go through my undergraduate. So I just went back with the easiest thing I could do. So I went with forensic investigation, which was interesting. So that's when I graduated from my undergraduate. But I've always been very good with systems and working with systems and learning them and working through flow processes and errors and trying to fix things. So I got the opportunity to work with BR Williams 8 years ago, or almost 8 years, working with them and worked my way through as a systems analyst all the way to where I am today. As Craig said, it's an amazing company with opportunities there. I've since gone back to school and working on doing a security degree. And then I've got a master's degree in instructional technology and I'm working on my doctorate right now for that same degree. So I love technology tools and things to work with.
You both cover a wide range of operations within BR Williams. And I'll go ahead and start at the beginning. So if you go on your website and you look at the history of BR Williams, you began two truck trucking company. Craig, I know you've been with the company for a very long time, but also Derek, you can speak to this as well. Can you explain how BR Williams made the massive expansion that you have made? And when did you decide to get into warehousing? When in the line of expansion did warehousing become a topic of conversation?
Absolutely. Yeah, we started out with two trucks, 1958, with a company here in town, Lee Brass. It was called Lee Brass Brothers at that, or Lee Brothers at that time. And we just started growing with them as they grew. I can't remember exactly when it was, but Federal Mogul built a large DC about 30 miles away from us. Then we became one of their core carriers as well. So we continuously were adding on trucks to manage all the freight. And then where we are is quite an industrial city. And as industries were moving in, we were the only trucking company in the area at that time. So that helped. And we grew along with them. When I came in 93, we had grown to where we had 72 trucks. Back in, it was in the late 90s, there was a large automotive OEM company looking to start a plant here in East Alabama. Just so happened, when they were down here for a visit, visiting with our local Chamber of Commerce, our CEO was the board chair at that time. Of course, he was taking him around, taking the people around, showing them the locations. He was part of that group. And they found out that he owned a trucking company. And of course, this company had to have a lot of trucks coming in and out of their facility. So that more than doubled us now. We're at currently at 164 trucks. We became one of their core carriers as well. They decided to build a plant 30 miles down the road from us, and rest is history as far as that goes. Now, as far as the warehousing, of all the industries that we had here in our area, we had no warehouse. There was no warehouses in this area. You either had to store your material in Birmingham or you had to store it in Atlanta, because where we're located, we're right in between both of them. We started reaching out to some of these customers saying, hey, if we built a warehouse, so it's like the Field of Dreams, would you come? And so in 1994, we started building our very first warehouse. Marina, we had only a concrete slab.
Wow.
And already one of our customers was putting product on that concrete. We didn't even have walls or a roof. And they were putting product in the area. And we had to hire a guard service to protect that freight while the building was being built. That was in 1994. We got through 2008, just like everybody else did when the economy went bad. And then on the other side of that, things just boomed. Freight, it was more than what we could handle. So in 2010 is when we decided to start a logistics company as well. So we were able to provide to our customers all three services
from the warehouse side. And the same thing throughout the years and everything that Craig has mentioned with people needing more space and more space, we've been able to acquire. Now we have six warehouse facilities. Two of those are pretty much government contract and government ran. We have a little bit of space in one of those that we still have needs for, but all of our warehouses are growing and we continue to expand. Even today, we're looking at some future options as well for customers, East Coast, West Coast, and try to cover the whole entire U.S. For shipments wise. So there's a lot of great things and great opportunities from what Craig has already mentioned.
That's awesome. And I think it's so interesting because you obviously started as like you said, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. But has the approach changed? Do you now build for customers or do you still build with the anticipation of customer needs afterwards?
Craig could probably say it better, but I believe our ownership is very faith-based in what they do. And as far as expansion, it wouldn't be something I don't think today that we would just go ahead and build it without having something in place, obviously with the economy. You want to have some stability when you start it up, which we believe now with our customer base, that would be with anything. I would still say that if you felt comfortable with it and knew you could do it and you had the team to provide it, I don't think that would be a problem. Craig, you can chime in anyway with that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been talk about us looking at other port cities to be able to bring what we do at our port in Mobile. Can we bring that same thing to some of these other ports? But just like what Derek was talking about, we got to have a core customer base before we're able to just do that.
Shifting a little bit, you obviously have grown and you, like you said, you have the three areas. So you've got trucking, warehousing, and logistics. There's a lot of technological advances between the three of them. I'm really curious, how much do you find of those technologies overlap? So if somebody had a warehouse and they were looking to grow in their trucking, would they have to invest a lot in new technologies, or is there a lot of things that kind of work in tandem with each other?
Well, I can start if you don't mind, Craig. So from the warehouse side, there's a lot of systems. You have the WMS, which is warehouse management systems, and then you have the ERP systems, which are more retailers, and then you have the LTMs, the different trucking systems that are out there. One of the things, there are some companies now out there that are incorporating everything into one system. So they'll house different modules, but it all works in tandem, as you mentioned, the same way. And I always look at software as a service. Is there something that necessarily can tie both systems together to where you don't have to abandon what you currently have to go that route? And we've actually looking, we're actually got a project now where we're working some things out tandemly between both systems. There's always plenty of software options out there to incorporate.
As far as the transportation, the TMS side of things, our logistics and our asset base, we use the same software. And then, of course, it ties into our maintenance software because you can't have assets unless you have a shop. All that ties in together. So we have a really good TMS system.
E-commerce is another kind of thing that fuels various technologies and having to grow in that arena. So how has the rise of e-commerce, especially I'm assuming within the pandemic and post-pandemic, how has that kind of changed your warehouse landscape and been your growth process?
We started, I think it was 2019, just looking into that area and that arena and putting together presentations to give to our executive team, CEO to pitch, okay, this is what we want to do. This is how much the cost is going to be to get everything set up. One of the great things about the WMS system is that we have API modules built into the system. So it was a lot easier for us to find some options to be able to tie things in from ordering to shipping and all those things there. And I know Greg is probably speaking on that as far as the transportation side, it's huge. The containers coming in from the port, coming and flowing in. Obviously with COVID and things that hit there, it was a tremendous time for us to be in that market. And when we went live with it, we had several customers that were interested. We got some in and those customers have grown exponentially, which helps our business models all the way around.
You're in a little bit of a cool position where you're seeing trends in within the supply chain from beginning to end. So what are some of the big trends that you're seeing today that are affecting your business?
Craig, go ahead for trucking side.
It is technology. The technology is growing. So just look at trucks, the technology that's going in these trucks. You already have experiments with autonomy just in our area. Not everybody knows this, but there's already autonomous trucks that are going from Dallas, Texas, come right past where we are going to Atlanta. That's already happening. The electric, they're working on the electric trucks, which I can see out of from two of our operations, two of our terminals, one day we may be totally electric. But the thing that really amazes me with these trucks is the collision avoidance systems that are in them now. It's just like driving a car. It alerts you when people are on either side of you. It alerts you when braking, and it automatically brake for the driver, which sometimes can be a little scary for them, especially if somebody pulls over in front of them. And then you got AI. We're already experimenting with AI, especially on our billing side. Mm-hmm. Just the constant upgrade in the technology that we have to keep up with. And it can make our lives easier, but it can also be rather expensive. But the advancement is what's keeping us in touch with our everyday business model and with our customers.
You talked about the different types of transportation that you're seeing going by your facilities. Are you close to jumping in on some of those? I know you said electric trucking is something that maybe is in the near future, but do you see yourself doing automation as far as like having automated trucks?
Once we figure out who's going to be at fault, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In case of an accident. Right now, everything's so up in the air, especially with our insurance companies, because for an asset-based company, insurance, I wouldn't say dictates, but they have a large hand in how we operate. And that's the question. Who's going to be at fault? So until that, we have a good answer for that. Now, already some of our trucks have the capabilities of doing what's called platooning, to where the lead truck, two trucks can line up or three trucks can line up. And if they have the platooning device, the lead truck will take over all controls for the two behind.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot of advancement there. It's just amazing.
It's funny that this is the industry where there's a lot of cutting edge technology too. When you think about it, it's a very, very old school. You know, you're getting things from place to place, but it's the breeding ground for a lot of really innovative things that are happening. What about on the warehouse technology side?
So just as Craig mentioned, it's a whirlwind of technology out there for the warehouse side. And we've done ourselves, we've done new RF devices that are wearable technology that have dashboarding built into it. It's really neat technology. I haven't seen anything on the market. Nobody else has got it other than the one we're using. And also like automation, as Craig said, the AI modules and looking at different things, they're automating processes. That's what we're really looking for, because the labor market is very strenuous. It's very hard to find the right fit, or even find anyone to be able to come in your warehouse setting, and or probably the same thing on the trucking side. I know that can be a problem as well. But by automating some of your processes, you're not necessarily, you know, trying to do away with any positions, but you're trying to help them, trying to fulfill as much as you possibly do. The e-commerce world and everything is just amazing. The technology that's there, you can pretty much fully automate your entire warehouse. I know of some companies I've seen where they have probably 90% of their stuff is fully automated. They don't have anybody working it. All robotics, all automation from top to bottom, which, as Craig mentioned, is very expensive. So you have to have that customer base in for a while. The ROIs on those are pretty hard to look at from the front end.
Okay, so more specifically to BR Williams, again, if you go to your website, you have a really interesting approach to your role in the supply chain, and it is called port to porch. So can you describe what this means? And if another 3PL was looking for just growth opportunities, how would you say that this is a valuable approach to them?
Think about it. A lot of our goods that we buy, especially online, that go B2C, I mean, it comes from overseas. We have currently a facility at a port. So we have trucks, we have warehousing. We can pick up that container, bring it to our warehouse, unload it, store it. And when an order comes in, we're able to ship it. We can either ship it parcel. If it's a B2B, we can either ship it LTL for them. We can ship it truckload. It can be on our trucks. Our logistics team could set up to where another trucking company comes in and picks it up, mm-hmm. Especially on the LTL side. So that's our concept. We can take care of all that. The customer doesn't have to worry about that. We're the experts. We're the ones that have invested all this, that we can take care of it for them. And they can concentrate on what they do best.
Yeah, and even on the warehouse side of this, with all the offerings that they can get at there, with us having the facility by the port, it makes things so much easier when you're talking to with a customer saying, look, we can put it at this facility here for you. We can fulfill all your orders. We can get it there in reasonable time so you don't have to ship it halfway across the U.S. to this facility. It just opened up so many different opportunities for us and make it easier to sell for the customer to say, hey, we can offer all this and we're so close there and we can ship it out for you anyway. As Craig mentioned, let them worry about growing their business, and hey, by growing it, we grow as well. So that's always good opportunities.
So in that same vein, obviously, I'm sure that if you're excellent at what you do, they're going to expect it faster. So how have your customer expectations changed and adjusted through, especially I think in the past couple of years, like we talked about with the technological advancements and the kind of need for the e-commerce world growing rapidly? Where have things changed for your customers?
From the warehouse side, it depends on when they want to go. Since we already have the integrations already pre-built in for the shipping and also the shopping cart platforms, it's relatively easy. Within hours, we can typically go in there and have them set up and ready to go. It's just then it becomes the timeline of, okay, when is your product going to come in our WMS system, setting up all the items, SKUs, weights. That's what takes the most time. But typically, instead of it being the 60 or 90 day or even a few months down the road, now it's within weeks to a month that a customer is typically ready to get in there and onboard and have their product there. So I know Craig on the trucking side probably has more to offer on that end than necessarily I do.
I don't know if we have more to offer because we're seeing our customers are switching now. Everything is EDI. Everything. Tracking. They want tracking on where their product is, which I don't blame them. We have now the technology to where we can send links to our customer to where they can, it's automatically generated. They're able to keep track of where their product is instead of having to reach out to our company and say, hey, can you see where trailer so-and-so is? They can do it themselves just at a touch of a button. But that's what I would say is the EDI and the tracking is really picking up speed with our customers.
Yeah, that it seems the ability to do that in your personal life. We had a previous episode where someone was talking about when you see things in your personal life going at a pace, you expect that professionally in your business life too. So if you get your Amazon package within a day and you can track it, you want your company product to be the same thing. So it sounds like that's stuff that's there to help you and aid in making that possible for them.
Absolutely.
I'm going to shift focuses just a little bit. Obviously, because there's so many job opportunities within this industry, but it's not a really well-known thing. Craig, you mentioned that you fell into the supply chain world with school and you really, really liked it. So how do you as a company work to attract new people, maybe just out of high school or people who maybe didn't think about this as a career path? What are kind of your strategies to recruit people into the industry?
Yeah, workforce development is very dear to us because not every young person just graduating from high school wants to go to college. And there are great careers within supply chain for this. But in order for them to know it, companies like ours have got to be able to get into the schools and be able to talk to these young folks to let them know what opportunities they have. A lot of the things we do that. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but Alabama has Alabama Works. It's a state-funded workforce development project. I'm part of East Alabama Works, and we hold job fairs. And of course, with these job fairs, for some of these at these high schools, we bring a truck. They love always being able to climb up in the truck and be able to see. And then that kind of leads to them being able to ask questions. We'll talk about our industry, but they always have questions that they want to know. And then East Alabama Works always holds what they call a World of Works. We hold it here in town. And oh my goodness, there's probably 100 industries from this area that participates. We have trucks, we have like transportation, we have construction, we have automotive, everything, diesel mechanic, anything and everything that's there that might be an interest to some of these young folks. And just this past year, we had 6,000 students come through. But now it's made up of probably about 6 counties. But all the schools bust the young folks in and we're able to talk to them and tell them about our industry.
Are there any jobs in particular or parts of the job when you say something to them, they like light up? Or is it always just like getting into the truck is the most exciting part?
Believe it or not, it's the young ladies coming through that want to know about driving a truck. And that just fascinates me. I think that's wonderful. And we give them guidance. We're partnered with a junior college here that offers a CDL school, 6 weeks. And we started a finishing program based off of them. The kids, they go learn how to drive a truck for 6 weeks. They're not ready. Some of these big companies come in and take them and put them out on the road 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time, and then they lose interest. We have an operation to where it's perfect for this. It's a daily. We put them with a qualified driver that's been trained to be able to be a trainer, and we'll continue the training with them for another 4 to 6 weeks based on need, teaching them how to back, showing them how everything has to be safety-wise on the road and everything like that. We have the perfect operation to be able to do that for them.
And Derek, what about on the warehouse side? You talked about with a lot of technology, I'm assuming upskilling is maybe a setback or an issue, but A lot of Gen Z and millennials love technology. And so what is it like hiring for the warehouse?
Yeah, well, it's more and more younger generation that are coming in there, obviously, that are, as you mentioned, they're tech savvy. Transitioning them to the floor and giving them some handheld devices or anything IT related, they're very quick to learn. That's always a very good thing for us. And just the knowledge that they gain, and we see how they're working with us from there. And as Craig mentioned, I'm not sure about us getting into schools from the warehouse side, but I know they do a lot of events and we're part of the same things there and bring some warehouse features to it as well, just trying to build that. And as he mentioned, not everybody wants to go to college. Not everybody wants to spend that time. So that's a perfect opportunity for them to grow in the business and the industry. So
is there any overlap between people who come in like warehouse and then move over, or is it pretty much you're in your area?
I'll say there's probably been some throughout the years, but I don't think it's a large mass, Craig. I don't think on that side is a lot of jumping from one to the other.
No, I agree. Over time, we have had drivers that wanted to transfer over into the warehouse. We've had drivers that wanted to, like over-the-road drivers, that wanted to come off the road, but they didn't want to give up their CDLs. They became a warehouse local driver, for that matter, on just doing city operation. So we've had that kind of overlap.
All right. I'm a warehouse company that exclusively does warehousing, but looking to expand into trucking and maybe expanding like your port-to-porch method. What advice would you give a company that's looking to expand? And what are some things that you wish you had known when you were figuring this out?
The very first thing they've got to understand is the safety and risk that is involved in getting into asset-based trucking. With all the lawsuits and everything that's going on, there's quite a good bit of risk there. They have to have somebody who is knowledgeable on all the DOT safety standards to be able to manage that risk that's out there. Now, to answer your question, again, it leads back to what I said earlier. You got to have core customer or customers that are willing to partner with you on putting on trucks, because trucks now are so expensive, just like anything else. But you got to remember, you're not having just a truck. You're going to have to purchase a trailer as well. That cost of you probably going to have close to $300,000 going down the road. So it's very expensive. But if you have the right customers in place, you can gain some margin off of that.
Craig nailed it as far as what he said there. It's looking into that business. If you want to grow, if let's say a warehouse is wanting to look more from the pallet end scenario into the e-commerce. So that's definitely growth that I see in the IWLA Tech Symposiums I go to the last several years. It's been a hot topic there for how can I get into e-commerce? We're wanting to move into that area. So you have to look at your system. Can your system handle it first and look at all those pieces together and come up with a plan? You've got to lay it out of what you want. And Greg was right spot on. He said, you've got to have the customer base to set it up. You don't want to go blind without having something to at least recoup some of the costs that you're going to put in there to up front to get it going.
That's all the questions I have, but I want to open it up. If you have any final thoughts or anything additionally you want to add?
Well, thank you for the opportunity first to be on this today. I really enjoyed the topics and the conversation. I would say for anyone who's looking for any type of new systems or anything that they're looking to do, I'll be glad to be a resource. If they ever reach out to you guys, I'll be glad to talk with them. Don't mind there. It's just the world of technology is growing. Things that are here today are old tomorrow. I've even seen that on myself, looking at some items with the AI world, the ChatGPT, the generations of everything that we've got going on now with robotics. It's just an amazing time to be in the field. And it's even fun for me as far as IT to be able to get things in, to play with it and see what it can do, what it can't do, and look for ROIs. It's a very interesting time for my business.
Yeah. And Marina, I appreciate you letting us be on here. This has been very exciting. Anything that I would like to add is supply chain is what fuels a lot of this economy. And there is so many opportunities for people in supply chain. And especially to be able to make a decent living and be able to take care of their family. And that's what it's all about.
Hopefully someone listening to this just decided to apply to work in the field. Thank you both so much, and really enjoyed the conversation today. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.